Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Dearest Mother.
Dearest Mother.
Beloved David.
Beloved David.
And saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peace.
Peace.
Bliss.
Bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's do a short meditation.
Shri Krishna Govind Hare Murare He Nath Narayan Vasudev Shri Krishna Govind Hare Murare He Nath Narayan Vasudev Shri Krishna Govind Hare Murare He Nath Narayan Vasudev 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 Shri Krishna Govind Hare Murare He Nath Narayan Vasudev Shri Krishna Govind Hare Murare He Nath Narayan Vasudev 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 Shri Krishna Govind Hare Murare He Nath Narayan Vasudev Shri Krishna Govind Hare Murare He Nath Narayan Vasudev He Nath Narayan Vasudev वासुदेव हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेव हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेव हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेव श्री कृष्ण गोविंद हरे मुरारे हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेव श्री कृष्ण गोविंद हरे मुरारे हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेव हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेव हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेव हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेव
My Bible reading this evening is from Psalms 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he called them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. And from James 5, starting with verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And I have a short reading from a talk that a pastor gave in 1993. And then I'll play you what's so remarkable about this, because I have the MP3 for this speech too. His name is Pastor Dwayne Miller. He's speaking about healing and much else. So we're starting halfway, or good way through the talk he's giving. To say that every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture, that's wrong. On the other hand, to say that since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So the psalmist says, I'm excited. Bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. In verse 4 he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had, in times past, pit experiences. We've all had bad times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave, and we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. At this point, things are happening. So I'll just complete what he completes. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. The Lord will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. That's mercy. Or repay us according to our iniquities. That's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And then he says, I'm sorry for the emotions. Now let me play just that portion when he says, you can't put God in a box. He's got a very bad speech problem that happened to his throat many years before. And he's been asked to come to a former class of his who are now older and to give a talk. And they just loved him so much, they said, we don't care if your voice is hard to listen to. We want you to come.
Whenever you put God in the box, what's he do? Immediately kicks the walls out. You can't put God in a box. It's nice to, in general terms, say these are the things that seem to happen in these ways, and that's good. For instance, in the Garden of Eden, man was dealt with by God and was called conscience. That's how God dealt with man, said, this is wrong, don't do that. And there was an age of conscience. In the Old Testament, there wasn't the law, and that was the age of law, the dispensation of law. That was how God dealt with man. When you come to the New Testament, that's the era or the dispensation of the church and of miracles and all that sort of thing, and it happens. The problem is that there are some folks who want to get so rigid with those boxes that they say, look, this started here and ended there, and it'll never happen again. When you start with always and you wind up with never, you're in trouble. Because God is never, 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 and always God. And he is always a never God. Because he's God, and he has the right to be what he chooses to be. So when the psalmist writes, and he heals all of my diseases, let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. Now you have to be careful on how you do this, because there are folks who carry things to an excess, and it becomes a show, and God has never intended that that be what it is. God heals in his sovereign will. I don't know why God does things that he does, but I know that he does. And the only thing he requires of me is to allow him to be God and me to be me, and let it be. To say that every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that, since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again, is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So, the psalmist says, I'm excited, bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And then in verse 4 he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer. For the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm but overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what say or do. I'm sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. The Lord will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, that's mercy. Or repay us according to our iniquities, that's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. I'm sorry for the emotions.
So we were lucky that was recorded. And he continued to have a good voice from that point on. I'm not sure what his present status is. That was in 1993. That was his wife in the background, of course. They had been through a rough time. So it's a funny thing. Today I was going to talk about Chaitanya and more Eastern or Indian subjects, because it seems like I talk about Christian things more than is balanced, and it's important for both. And it's important for universal too. I'd like to be more educated in Islam and Buddhism and a few others, but this is what Mother gave us. And then this just came up on the screen. And I thought, well, since I wanted to talk about healing, it seemed interesting that this showed up. I guess I've always thought, too, that the end of the miracles, the day of miracles, is not true, that there's miracles all around us. But to assume that we will be healed is also, as he said, not scriptural. But it's so I put this very much into that crowd around him that day. He had been talking for several minutes before I played that, maybe 20 minutes or so. And they'd all sat very quietly and listened to him. Fairly big crowd. And the inner prayers, I'm sure, or the inner love for the man and for the wishing him all the best with this difficulty. Being a pastor, pretty difficult if you lose your voice. But they all pulled that off, asking God for that, taking everyone by surprise. Were there just quiet prayers or was there admiration for him to teach? It's a pretty good sermon. We've got the whole thing. It is hard to listen to that first part. But he had a lot to say. And of course, he's been on many different podcasts and radio. From that time, it was all radio and television. I know when I played this for David, we both remarked on the fact that it's when he talks about being in the pit that the miracle occurs. He's saying before that, you can't expect God to do physical healing. You can't expect anything. But to acknowledge that we've all been in the pit, despondent, that's when God brought about this great change in his life. Yeah. Anyone want to weigh in on this? It's a pretty powerful kind of a testimony, isn't it? What did you all think of it?
I think I just love the Bible quotation, Larry. I don't remember. Was it a psalm? I don't remember.
Yeah, Psalms and then James.
Wow, that really affected me. I just love that very, very much.
Yeah.
So what, he had a permanent kind of disability to his voice, and it was healed in the midst of that talk.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. He'd been, he'd been a pastor and a teacher and for quite some time. And his livelihood, his life was all involved in that. So when he lost it, I think he may have gotten sick or something and it caused the problem. And then he was unable to get work, of course. As a Protestant pastor, most of them aren't kept together. I think they made it. They made it through, but it was pretty rough in the sense that he didn't have a way of being a pastor to anyone. So he was forced into a dark time, in his own life, wondering what God is all about. But he never lost faith. So if you look up Dwayne Miller, Pastor Dwayne Miller, there's lots of information about him. YouTube videos.
I really liked when he said you can't put God in a box.
Yeah. I think that's why I read that, is it's a really powerful talk he gave.
I think our minds always want to do that.
We want some kind of logic to show God, and that he will do things in a way that we can may expect it to happen. But yeah, he breaks out of the box for sure.
It makes me think of Brianna.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
So 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
She's been suffering with this condition. And now some random, seemingly random thing that a friend found on the internet about soaking in warm water. And that has decreased her pain.
You'd think that would be the first thing she would do.
So significant. Well, she's tried soaking in cool water, but never tried soaking in warm water.
Oh, that's strange.
It's kind of...
I didn't know that.
The opposite of what you would think.
Because her feet feel like they're on fire at all.
Ah, good point. That is a symptom she had, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, just she was saying on Sunday, like, God can still heal.
Is that right?
Even after, you know, he heals when he decides to.
Yeah. And we think of Travis also, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
What he's gone through. And Barbara Lutz.
Brianna was saying it's so wonderful that she can sleep with her feet not elevated on pillows for the first time in 6 years or 7 years. So she can actually move her legs around while she's sleeping. And who thinks of that? Like,
yeah.
There's these things we take for granted, right? Mm-hmm. But this is like just so wonderful for her. Because she hasn't been able to do, feet have had to be elevated. And just amazing.
Weren't those girls beautiful on Sunday?
Yes.
Dressed
They're
perfectly.
So beautiful.
Yeah, they really are. She's not a nice family.
And Brianna just, you can see it's like a weight has been lifted off of her.
Mm-hmm.
She's been living with that pain.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know.
That constant pain.
Mm.
And so it's like she's free now.
Somewhat, yeah.
I mean, significantly.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for telling us about that. I didn't know.
I was thinking about how Mother's teachings give us so much comfort because, just to know that God always has our best in mind. And in a regular life, we go through a lot of ups and downs and trials and tests and everything, but they come and go. Mm-hmm. But in some cases, they last for lots of years, like you're talking about, Michelle. And
mm-hmm.
That's when you really are tested. And Brianna's passed the test, that's for sure. You know,
yeah.
She's so spiritual and sincere. And so God takes care of it.
Well, it's interesting with Pastor Duane that he didn't lose faith, that he, it's easy to think that God should do something, you know. Jesus came down, cured so many people. And so it's so easy to lose faith in your religion, you know, if you're not really educated in a way that puts the relationship with God first. If it's more of the social gospel or more of the miracles. But people who get connected to God in any fashion, in any way, with a direct relationship with Him, they're so much better off. They can endure and come through something so even dramatic like this. I mean, there's much worse going on in the world, but this is an interesting way for God to have done it too. I find this teaching from this must have been for that whole congregation to see this take place. Must have been really wonderful. But he's talking about letting God do what he wants to do and that he won't be constrained in a box and that if this happens to you, you may lose your voice for the rest of your life. He didn't, but he had no expectation that it wouldn't be for the rest of his life. I think about the courage it takes for him to come and to speak to a group. And for their patience and for their love of him. Yeah, it's very nice. But that direct relationship with God is what gets is the only thing, and it's not always foolproof either. There's no rock, no rules, or no box that God will be in.
And then God decided to heal him right when he was in front of that group.
That's just amazing. Yeah.
Right when he was talking about the dark pit he was in.
Yeah. About the dark pit that people get into. He was sympathetic with others.
Very who, vulnerable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Larry had a strong sense that not for a moment was I left thinking or feeling that he felt sorry for himself. But when he paused there,
yeah,
it was like this current was just mm-hmm. filling my entire body.
Yeah.
And the power that was happening in that moment, even though that's a recording and it was a time
long ago. You can't imagine.
You could feel like the charge that was there. That was what struck
good.
Me.
Out. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's so true. It's thrilling. I remember the first time I heard this on the radio, and we weren't told anything at all, other than I think just a very little bit before, and then after his voice comes back, and talking about this is I want you all to listen to this. Some I forget which show it was I was listening to.
So we would find him under Pastor Dwayne on podcasts?
Dwayne Miller. Well, I'm not sure. I just know that he has been on lots of shows and stuff after this occurred. Focus on the Family and things like that. But I don't know. He may not even be with us anymore. But I'm sure he's available on the internet somewhere because it's quite a story. And he's right in front of all those people.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Larry, would you be able to share the link for that?
Sure. No, I'll put these things on a link, a Dropbox link. You guys can all. And there's a long document that I was reading too that has some of it. It has a description behind it, which I haven't read in quite a while. I'll send that along too.
Thank you.
When I think of healing, David's journey always comes to mind.
Yeah.
And the dichotomy between him, asking us to keep in mind, total recovery.
Yeah.
And I'm sure many people I've talked to had the same sense that even when the last couple days, when it seemed like there was no way the body could come back, I think we all had this somewhere between 2% and 20% chance in our mind that David was just going to get up and walk out of the hospital completely recovered.
Right.
And I remember just sitting in prayer and meditation and having this discussion with David and God and saying, why not? Why not the miracle? And in my inner mind, God just swept his hand and said, if this isn't enough of a miracle for you, nothing is.
Think about how when Master passed away, too, that must have been shocking to people. He was only 59 years old and other teachers, other gurus.
Yeah. And God seems to have to play in this physical realm by means of physicality.
Yeah.
And that's, if he needs to work things out on this physical plane, he has to use willing physical bodies is what's, mm-hmm. what keeps coming to me. And it doesn't make sense to our little puny human minds, but.
Well, it's, you know, we need to be able to say I more than God, because we wanted this. We want this now.
Yeah. But I bring that up with coming right out of Easter too, that the Christ had to sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
Had to be willing to sacrifice himself. Hmm. You know, for God to be able to so love the world that someone has to give up their life.
Mm-hmm. No greater love hath any man, yeah. Than that he give up his life. You know, I feel it really strongly that this realm gives us the opportunity to really know what it's like to have all the imaginations and have academic discussions about things. But what is it really like when your ego is constrained by samskaras and all of the things that hold us to this plane and hold us in the body? What would that be like?
It would be exactly like this.
That's what we wanted. That's what we find it hard to believe. We really do. We do think, well, we know all this. Why would we find it hard to believe? Well, we just have to. That's what the word realize means. You know, Kate and I just watched the first Harry Potter, because the kids, our grandkids, are watching it right now. And I love that whole, such a genius idea, the whole thing, of course. But that first one, here he is, a little boy, 11, just as cute as Max was. and not knowing anything about his powers. And so we're all Superman hiding behind the false self, not knowing. I had, in my own life, much nicer parents than what he had for his aunt and uncle. And I'm always glad for that. To be put, it's just such a brilliant idea, to put the boy underneath the stairs. He's not even able to have a bedroom. And there's two upstairs. It's just beautifully done. And then for him to slowly come into his true self. You know, that's what every person wants, but also it's what really is what we expect in this, in order to be a hero, to want to be a hero, but also to learn what life is really all about, to learn how the universe works.
I just was thinking, Larry, about healing and how it's such a mystery to us how one person will get healed out of the blue sometimes, a real miracle.
Hmm.
Another person who everybody's praying for and everybody wants to have healed, and they're just as good a person, and they do not get healed.
Yeah.
And how the whole thing, if you're involved at all, either as an observer, the person going through it, how much it helps you to surrender if you're in that state of mind, to both the person who's not being healed to surrender to God, that God is going to, that God is just not going to heal you, and that you maybe will die from this or you'll suffer from it, and that another person will miraculously get healed. A woman I had been hearing back a while ago who was told she had an incurable cancer, very, very rare. She's got about 3 months to live. She thought, well, okay, if this is what I'm supposed to happen, I will just go. And it wasn't until she talked to her son and realized how much he wanted her to live that she kind of had some other feelings. And she called a friend of hers who was, she was an active spiritual person herself, the woman who was sick. She called her friend who was kind of a counselor, and she was a spiritual person. And she came over to her place and said, well, the only thing really that I can help you with is I can teach you how to pray the rosary. And she wasn't even a Catholic herself, the sick woman. She said, okay, I'll do that.
But it was because of her son's desire that she didn't know about, that she thought she should make the effort. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he impressed on her so much that how much he wanted her to continue to live.
Yeah.
So she began praying the rosary every day, and just really dedicated this whole hour or two in the morning to intensely pray that rosary. Mm. Her friend coached her about how to keep her mind on it, how to go through the whole procedure. And she did it with full faith, and, well, I guess the faith developed, but she just made that. And she was miraculously healed. The doctors had absolutely, they'd never seen it before, that somebody in that condition with that kind of cancer. And isn't it interesting how God can take something like that? You know, here's a tool for you. Here's a tool. And then I will create this miracle through you. And it could have been any number of other tools, perhaps. And in her case, it was
the hair, mahasya, and the oil.
And the plant that he told his wife to give for the saving the one daughter, too. Yeah. Well, and Sriyukteswar, the stories that Master tells about him, really quite amazing.
There sometimes has to be a medium or something, like something that is physical in the physical realm or something that you do.
Well, you know, of course, the real lesson that we're trying, you know, we're thinking, well, this is set before me now as a difficult task, a difficult test for me to go through, this healing, and not knowing that, no, that's not what it was about at all. The healing was a way of sparking your
faith.
The test that you're missing is that you're supposed to get closer to God regardless. That's just, your connection to God is the most important thing, and that's the healing that's necessary.
Surrender.
Surrender. Yeah, we often don't know what the real test is. What we don't really know what the real project of our lives is. Yeah, Mother always focused on just keeping your mind on God, and that is that will from that will all things come.
I appreciated that very much when Pastor Duane said that the scripture that God heals all of my diseases doesn't mean physical.
And even said Isaiah 58, it does not mean physical. That's a misinterpretation of scripture.
He just said it doesn't mean physical. That was very insightful.
That wasn't the main thing on the talk. When you read the whole thing, that just happened during this time when he's talking about healing. It isn't like that's a constant theme for him either, from what I understand. So it's interesting, of course, that it happened the way it did.
But it was a key point, because on our path, we're given so much when we can understand karma and how God is always working something out.
Yeah.
Like Judy was saying, you know, from Mother's teachings, we get that whether we experience it as good or bad, it's always for our highest good. And when we have that peace, that gives us so much. So in that way, God heals all of our diseases, that the healing is in the disease itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because whatever God is working out through that experience, whether it's a physical disease, a mental disease, or a spiritual disease, just as you said, it's the healing that is taking place through that experience is the healing of your separation from God. You are given that experience in order to heal your separation from God. So the healing is in the center of the disease.
Well, to think that you are praying for healing, God is giving you healing of the parts he thinks is most important, and you're not acknowledging it. We're not in the position to know this, but, you know, to not, because your physical body still isn't better. You're thinking whatever thoughts you think. You give up to God, give up with God. But in reality, as you pray for healing, God heals perhaps the parts that he thinks are most important. As you're saying, the healing itself, the disease itself is part of, is the way of sparking the healing. And when you pray for healing, what you don't know that what you're praying for is really for your soul.
It's for almost. God, yeah. That the purpose be fulfilled is what you're really praying for. Because, whatever is given to you in that experience, it's for a higher good. It's for a purpose.
Right.
And that's the healing it's the healing of your separation from God through going through that experience.
Yeah. And the healing, the illness causes the separation. It can be the wedge that will pull you away from the path with God. So it's all tied together. But
does it cause, or is it a symptom of, when you may be suffering for your own karma? Or you may be that God is using you as an instrument to take on the karma of others. Mm-hmm. So your disease may stem from one or the other, but the disease is almost like a symptom of separation rather than the cause mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. separation.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess what I was thinking as you say that, for the experience that the person has is that, you know, I'm perfectly happy with God. I've got a good relationship with God. I'm a pastor, or I'm a student in theology, whatever. And but the disease comes in and says, well, how much do you really believe what you're being taught and what you're teaching also, and what you think you know? Yeah. But you know, you'd say, well, gee, God, You should let me have a healthy body if you want me to learn all these things. But yeah.
Rebecca, that's a great... Larry had wanted to bring the East and the West into this, and that is the piece that Mother gives us, the missing piece that's left out of the Christian teachings is the karmic. That karmic piece.
And reincarnation, which is all related. It's all of a piece, I realize. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's so much more after that. You know, we have to acknowledge that the Christians can get to God without even thinking about other lifetimes, but that's because they have some great souls can see through it all and know to go to God. But you do feel for people suffering that to know and to believe in reincarnation. It's one thing to know about it, it's another to really believe in it. You know, this is the miraculous thing that Autobiography of Yogi did for me, was just, I knew the truth of what he was saying so clearly. I just never had any doubt that what he was describing, though it did make logical sense, I also stepped onto the the foundation that he gave me, and I felt comfortable with it. I think we all do too. We all know that from other lifetimes that this is something that's true and it's missing in the Christian world. And Master came to bring the original teachings of Christianity back to Christ, to the Christians. So, and that's part of the thing that's going on here. But 2,000 years, the Christians have ignored all of this stuff and done pretty well. Now, in terms of physical world, yeah, they're spread out all over the world while fighting and doing everything else. But they and all religions do have a special role to play, a field that we can work in that will test your mettle and test your soul.
It's interesting how we will say to God, bring it on because I want my realization. And then as soon as we start getting something, but I didn't mean that. Well, I remember when I hurt my knee at the ashram and a number of people said, oh, you're very blessed because hurting something here at the ashram. In other words, they believed that there was some karma that I had to go through and that because I was at the ashram,
That's good. That's nice.
I was given this small piece of karma instead of a bigger piece.
And to work with it in that environment, yeah.
Right there. And they saw it in a different kind of way, you know.
And think of Rebecca's John and leaving the body there.
I read about a guy who a bulldozer rolled over on him and crushed about every bone in his body, and he was really happy and grateful that God had put him through such a severe test, that God valued him so highly that he would test so severely.
Yes, that's nice. Yeah.
I think Mother Teresa of Calcutta said something like, if this is how God treats his friends, I would hate to see how he treats his enemies or something.
No, I think it's Mother Teresa of Avila, so St. Teresa of Avila.
Is it?
Yes, was he in the water, being almost drowning? And
yeah, trying to cross a river or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And she said, something about, well, no wonder you don't know. What is it? Let's see if we can get this right. No wonder you didn't know what. You don't have very many friends.
This is how you treat them. Friends, yeah.
That's what he said. God said to her, this is how I treat my friends. Yeah. Well, no wonder you don't have
any friends. Why you don't have any friends.
Oh, okay, that was it. Yeah. Thank you.
It's better than that. It's a better statement than that. But Mother used to tell that. It's wonderful.
I was just going to say that when I was about 10 or 11 years old, I was hanging out across the street with the lady who just had a new baby. And I thought that baby, I just loved that baby, and she was teaching me how to take care of the baby. And I thought the baby was my grandfather reincarnated. Because my grandfather had died not long before that.
Interesting.
And so I must have been even a bit younger, maybe 10. So I came to the dinner table one night and I said, do we believe in reincarnation? And, you know, my parents are Catholic. And I think they just said, no, honey, or something like that.
Of course
and
not.
I was like, oh, okay. And I don't even know how, I just believed in it.
It's more than belief, it's knowledge, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I just had this really strong connection with the baby, and I thought I had known him before. or something in that. So I thought he might be my grandfather.
And you might be right.
They should have said something like, no, but most religions in the world do, but we don't.
I don't think Christians realize that, you know, how many people do.
But I don't really remember what they said, but I remember it being one of, like, there was kind of like that silence at the table for a minute or two after.
Where did she come from? Yeah.
The parenting books didn't cover what to say that when your kid asks you that.
It's interesting when you say, Larry, that when we're young, you know, the doors open for memories that are long before.
Right.
And I think of when my family was not Catholic, but getting in trouble all of the time for wanting to make special, like, altars and flashlights because I didn't have candles.
Yeah.
And cutting up my grandmother's ball gowns that she'd given to my mother. We lived out in the country and in the mountains, and always dressing like an Indian princess from India. And I have memories of that right back when I was like 5 or 6. And my sister was reminding me of that. She said, you know, even as a child, you always were, you know, you had India so prevalent in your mind.
That's very strange, yeah.
So Michelle, when she said that about her story of reincarnation,
right.
And you said, we come with those memories.
Well, you know, there are just so many stories. It's just ridiculous to try to argue against it because there's just books written about, and story after story is quite amazing. Reincarnation. And how much children know when they're little, how much they can remember, and then they slowly lose it. It's really fascinating. You know, it's, I've said before that it seems like there's a personality that's as a child, when you're really little, say 0 to 3 or 4, that's different than the child, than the person's personality later in life. And this is slight differences, but they are very strange. What happens during the time of growing into a full adult, by the time you get to be an adult. And
when at age, right, or just prior to age 5, there's an actual mind sweep that goes, and all the memories are erased. And I knew about that, and I watched it with the little girl that I nanny. And there was a show that we had watched literally every day. She would watch this little 30-minute show before she took a nap.
Right.
And knew all the characters and everything. And then we didn't talk about it. And it had been 6 months. She had no memory of it at all. For a year, she watched the show, 5 days a week for 30 minutes. And it was a play along show and everything. And then 6 months later, she had no recall of it whatsoever. Showed her the pictures of it, nothing.
Interesting.
And it's,
wow.
And people, some memories prior to 5, but they're very few and very sparse.
Master says that in the autobiography, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's rare.
Yeah. So it makes sense that there's things that we bring in that for some reason they're then no longer accessible to the mind.
I guess the way I've always thought of it and the way they talk about it too is how can you not have any memories before the age of 3 or 3 to 5? So you don't have to, it varies with each person, but no memories. So what you're saying is this is something that's well known. This is a child behavior.
It's related to why kindergarten starts when kindergarten does, because the mind is fresh. Yeah. All the things that it.
And you'll remember. So I remember my kindergarten. So yeah, that's about my, some of my, not quite, but very close to my earliest memories. So that's very interesting. Yeah.
Because it's then accumulating everything it needs to grow into adulthood.
Right. Right. Well, there's some other process going on, 0 to 5, isn't there, obviously?
Yeah.
That's necessary. Certainly, you know.
Much more intuitive, much more free, opened.
0 to 5, you mean? Yeah.
More intuitive.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, children just will look at somebody and love them or hate them.
Right. Yeah, right away.
And
yeah.
It's not just always like somebody with a beard or, but you know, there's just those. Those reactions that.
Well, it's around 5 to 6 when the logical brain
kicks
starts
in.
To be more developed, and they start to know the difference between fantasy and reality.
The Catholics call it the age of reason. They say that the age of reason, you know, you don't have to go to confession until you're 7, I think, or when you have first communion. It's all to do with that age of reason. So, yeah, that's after 5. That's more like 6, first year. Isn't it?
6 or 7.
Isn't it, yeah. Grade 1 that you do that, yeah. So that's right around the same thing.
And then there's like children can do things like walk on hot coals when they're younger, but then when they're older, they can't always do it.
Yeah.
Because the logical mind is more developed.
Yeah, it's a great tool, logic, and that part of the mind, but it can be the thing that scares you and brings paranoia and fear too, doesn't it?
Well, and good and evil, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Duality. Perhaps.
Mm-hmm. So I'll send out that MP3. I think there's 2 of them if you want to listen to the whole thing. And there's a PDF I'll send along. I'll just send it to the bigger group, people who weren't here tonight and all that too. I'm not sure we'll put this up on the web, but I just thought it was a nice thing that to talk about and to see, and you know, the Christians have such a reason to feel justified in all of their beliefs when you have something like this go forward. So you wouldn't want it any other way. You want people's love and faith to be the ruling thing, not the mind and not the emotions. But it plays with both the mind and emotions, of course. But you want that spiritual development, knowledge of God, all of that to occur, regardless of whether they believe the same things that we do. Okay. Let's say our closing prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence.
Of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
And surrender myself to Thee.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with Thee.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Oh. peace.
Peace.
Bliss.
Bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll play some music on the way out. Hare Om.